vale madre.
What's good, world? Coming to you live and direct and hitting the chest like a shot of straight jack. This is No Chasing with Petey Mac. Let's get it. Hey, what's up, y'all? This your country cousin, Pete McCarver, a.k.a. Petey Mac. This episode, I did something a little different. You know, kind of had a roundtable discussion with some comedians that were on the show that I did Friday in Irmo, South Carolina. So y'all kick back, relax, and enjoy this special treat for what it is, my 10th episode of No Chasing with Petey Mac. Something different. Y'all enjoy it. What's up, everybody? This is your country cousin, Pete McCorvey, a.k.a. Peter Mac, man. You hear the ambient noise going on in the back. I'm actually in a nice little bar slash restaurant slash hole in the wall slash where you go to hook up with the random broad you met at work and you lied to a toad. It was a great spot, but it don't matter. You still gonna get the panties anyway. And I'm joined by it's called the Sandbars in Irmo, South Carolina, which is a suburb of, can you say it's a suburb of Columbia?
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm joined with I'm here at the comedy show here at the Sandbar, and it's hosted by extraordinary comedian I met named Donovan Stroud. He's actually here. Donovan, speak to the people.
Hey, this is Donovan.
We sound like somebody on NPR right there, man. If they had a white guy that would do like the Quiet Storm, that's just how he sound right there. And also we got
Justin Blackburn.
How y'all gentlemen doing tonight, man?
Doing amazing. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Just got off the road. Sorry I'm a little late. I tried to be here early. I mean, what happened with, because we were supposed to be doing this joint, Donovan. So what happened? What ended up happening?
With the joint podcast?
Yeah, because I remember you asked me the podcast. I was going to record and I was going to kind of try to.
Well, with the name that I gave my podcast, I feel like it's going to be called Don't Go Postal with Donovan Stroud.
Okay.
I want it to be about, like, staying sane. You know,
okay.
Because, you know, mail carriers went postal. I'm a mail carrier for the Postal Service.
Oh, you really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I need to talk to you.
That's a good idea.
Well, I definitely need to talk to you because, you know, I don't really want to be in the military forever and a day. And, you know, I want to switch over that federal stuff.
It's a perfect transition from any branch of the military to the Postal Service.
Okay. That's what's up.
You automatically get extra points on your, like, quizzes to get hired.
So. Okay, that's what I was hearing. Justin, is that what you do too as well?
No,
what
do I do life coaching and I write books. And
okay, well, y'all see a whole. You write more than books. You got a whole little library over here.
They're all the same book. It's a bisexual Christian suburban failure and lightning bipolar blues. It's a novel.
You know what? can you give us a little synopsis of what goes on in the novel?
Yeah, it's just about this kid who was born in a small conservative town in Alabama.
Okay.
And he's in a lot of worlds, in like Christianity worlds, they want you to worship Jesus, but they don't want you to embody Jesus.
Yeah.
So he's kind of embodying Jesus' principles. So they think he's crazy, but really he's just a really good person.
Okay.
But they hate him because he like wants to be like Jesus.
Well, that's kind of like what Jesus kind of stood for. You know, he did great things, but
Jesus did great things, and the guy loves Jesus, but you know, people don't think he's crazy because he's, you know, not the typical person that just kind of shuts up and does what they want to do.
So, what made you want to sit in Alabama? I mean, just of all places.
Well,
I'm
from Greer, South Carolina.
Yeah.
So I made it in Greer, Alabama. Y'all want to do this outside?
They're about to turn it down.
Yeah, so if y'all hear that, Bill, it's we live on location, so we got to do what we got to do, y'all.
There
so.
Is, you know, patrons at this bar that need to be pleased, that come in here and expect to get hammered and enjoy some.
And this is South Carolina's the country music you heard.
No, that was good. You can go a little bit higher. You can go a little bit higher.
Yeah, you got to turn it all the way down. We won't.
Yeah, Alabama's kind of a shitty place, right? So I'm trying to go. It's also about transcending trauma. A lot of people get a lot of trauma growing up, you know, when you're raised to be a certain way and you're told to be this, and then that's not who you are. And then they try to keep you to be that person and it fucks with you.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of shit going on in this book.
I understand.
Yeah.
I feel like that would add to the guys, like, as he tries to embody Jesus, that would give him a big ego, correct? Kind of like an ego.
No, it's not really, it's not an egoic thing. So there's a thing about being an ego where you're like, I'm better than everyone.
Yeah.
But then there's an ego where you're just like, you're a divine being, right?
Yeah.
So we're all connected to God, right? Does God have an ego? Is God like I?
Well, some people say, I had some people that I know, a guy I work with, he told me he felt like the guy was kind of a big douchebag because like some of the biblical stuff he do, like the plagues in Egypt and, you know, the flood where he wiped out everybody.
That guy's kind of a douchebag, yeah.
I mean, I don't feel that way, man. But I can understand how somebody could see that, like...
Well, I mean, the Old Testament God's pretty crazy.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, could you imagine, like, if God was to go in a bar and he'd be like, hey, how you doing? So, you know, I ruined the world with a flood. Yeah, I did that.
He would know what he did.
Yeah.
Like, he would know, like, everyone knows my secret type stuff.
Yeah.
And Jesus probably knows that, you know, he was Jesus.
Well, could you imagine Jesus with a 21st century type attitude, like a millennial attitude, like, well, my dad owns all of this. No, I'm not joking. My dad really owns all this. He made all this stuff. All of this is his.
Oh, he'd be spoiled, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's like, okay, you want to do this? My dad can make a plague. Frogs will be here, right here, right now.
Don't make me call him.
Yeah, don't make me call, because I will.
That would be like, you know, white suburban Jesus would probably do that.
Yeah, well,
college bro Jesus.
Well, you know, if you looked at the pictures of Jesus, I mean...
He wasn't white.
The pictures that they started trying to push on the side of Jesus did look like he'd be a Chad. I mean, long hair with a beard, and he would look like he'd be a Chad.
That's white. That's
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's the image they push, because, you know what I'm
saying? White supremacy Jesus.
Yeah, so... So Donald, so you are you Justin? You comedian too, or you just?
Yeah, I'm doing that. Sure.
Okay, you doing? I just wanted to make sure. So I'm gonna go to Donovan. He's the host of the show. So, what made you want to get into comedy? What just was the side effect saying this is what I'm gonna do, bro?
My wife took me to an open mic. I wanted to get up that night, but she was like, write something, take a week.
Okay.
And went up next week, and pretty much every week since then, I've taken breaks, but I've taken like 2 weeks of a break.
Well, you gotta do that periodically. A friend of mine, he's actually on one of the previous episodes of No Chaser with Peter Mac, was an old roommate of mine named Sonny Gillespie. He actually told me that because when I first...
Name.
But I actually... Well, he's actually related to D. Dizzy Gillespie. It's a distant cousin of his.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's how he got that name. Because his real name is Steve Robbins. Not how, like, where the hell you get Sonny Gillespie from?
Can you add one more?
Yeah, you can add one more, bro.
I mean, we can add whoever, but I just wanted to make these people... All right, so I only told y'all about the podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just going to deal with the repercussions of not telling the other people. But now I feel guilty, and I want to invite them.
Feel guilty.
Okay, well, we're just on the cuff. We can add some more people.
Right. For what?
You don't have to feel guilty.
No, you're not. This is No Chaser, baby. We don't feel guilty about nothing on No Chaser.
Yeah, we're good, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. I needed that.
Yeah. So we don't feel no. So is there other you want to add other acts on here or what's going on?
I mean, all right.
I mean, if you want to come in.
I didn't mean to interrupt the whole thing.
Oh no,
he'll cut this out.
Yeah, I cut it out because I'm not gonna put this on that tonight. If I might just let it roll, fuck it. Who cares? I mean, I don't care.
I have that same problem. Real. I've recorded some podcasts with like Sauce Got Jokes, this comedian that I was roommates with. A couple of them. I'm apologizing to him because I haven't released it. I don't know how to release it. And they're just gone in the wind.
Hey man, that's why I'm on this Anchor right here. Anchor, you can just record right on it. I mean, you hit publish, and it sends it out to a bunch of stuff. Spotify being one of them. This is on Spotify. So, Anchor, you got your plug. I gave you a little shameless plug, so, you know.
Get this man some advertising money.
Buy my book, The Bisexual Christian Suburban Failure and Lightning Bipolar Blues.
I mean, the name itself is just...
Yeah, a lot of people will buy it just because of the name.
I mean, the name is the... So you said, Donovan, so before that, you never had no ambitions of doing comedy at all.
No, I had been to like one comedy show before, and I didn't I wasn't really aware enough.
Hey, I'm Brandon. You guys comics too?
Yeah, we comics too. Hey man, why don't you get on?
Nice to meet you.
You can get on it too. Got another comic just came in. Doing a podcast. I'm Peter Mack. I'm one of the comics on here right now.
Nice to tell
the people who you are, bro.
My name's Grant Janik. I'm a full-time stand-up comic and comedy writer. Perform improv all around the country as well.
Okay.
And I'm 19, so
okay.
That's
I wish I'd have known did this at 19, so full time, so like you eat off of this. Like
yes, yeah.
Like, oh, so who have you written for? You said you're writing all that.
Bloomberg. Did you say Bloomberg? If I wrote for Bloomberg, I would not be financially supporting myself.
Let me tell you something. If I wrote for Bloomberg, I wouldn't be by you because we all know his policy on searching. I mean, stop and frisk and all that shit. So, you know, and that didn't benefit me.
Yeah.
I mean, because if y'all don't know, I'm the only African-American talking right now. The other three men of Caucasian descent. So we all know how Bloomberg, he actually got video of Bloomberg saying that that was where all the crime was in New York City. It was in the black, Hispanic communities.
Yeah, Bloomberg's a fucking racist.
Which is, you know, he's not wrong.
I don't even know because I'm kind of that is Dylan Stroud's own thoughts that will not reflect this podcast.
Right, it's Dylan Stroud, like he said, Dylan Stroud. That is the name you just said. Yeah. That's definitely me.
Yeah. Vote for Bernie.
That's
who I want to win.
Well, I say Dylan. I'm sorry, bro. It's been a long ride.
Whoever wins the primary. I'm voting for whoever wins the primary at this point.
Yeah, I don't really like Joe Biden either, but I guess I'd vote for him.
But I got to kind of stay up out of this. You know, I'm in the military, so I ain't got a dog in this fight, bro.
Yeah, you got
Tulsi. Yeah.
I saw driving here. I saw, like, they saw the poster for her for a campaign up on the
billboard.
Yeah.
Where's
you know the big site? North Carolina, Raleigh.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he came a lot further than your 2.5 hours.
Oh yeah, I got far. I go back tonight too. I make the whole drive back again.
Make sure you drink some coffee.
Coffee? Well, I got tea.
Some souls.
Eat some souls. That's the plan.
Eat some souls. Like these. Like,
that's cool. How long have you been doing the coffee?
That's weird, bro.
Probably about like 2 or 3 years. So.
I'm just saying, it looks like a vampire.
2 or 3 years, you already dashing the tour and all that. Like, so you said you were 17 when you started. So how was you able to get into clubs and all that? Because I've wondered about like comedians who are minors who get started.
Oh, we sneak in. We absolutely sneak in.
How do you sneak out and go under the radar? Because you clearly got to be on stage under the damn spotlight. So,
just the Raleigh scene, it's a really supportive scene.
Okay.
And there's like other mics that are just like in dive bars and stuff that don't have like age limits.
Yeah.
So I made connections through that. And then there's a place called Good Nights up there.
Okay.
And they just get me in there. So,
okay.
And then I'd watch the shows as well if I wasn't there. Just
so
to,
you know,
like,
Caroline Smith?
Yeah. I don't like know her personally, but like I know of her.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I've heard some cases like you have to have your parents come in, you do your set, and then they kick you the fuck out. So there's nothing like that up there that they do?
I mean, like, they'll still kick you out, you know, if they find out. But like, it's like more of like a don't ask, don't tell thing, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Kind of like being gay in the Army.
Yeah, well, they got rid of that. They being repelled. That, trust me, I've had a bunch of supervisors that was gay. Actually, they were better than their straight counterparts, honestly. They really were. I've had a couple supervisors was gay in the Navy, and I'd rather work with them than their straight counterparts.
So, what do you think on the military?
What do I think about the military?
Yeah, just I'm talking to Justin about Justin.
I mean, a lot of stuff. What? It's like a specific question.
I just want to hear your overall take on the military.
There's a lot I would have to say. I mean, I don't know what, like,
they're there, you know?
Can I have like a specific question? Like,
do you feel like they're important?
Do I think the military is important? I mean, in this world, yeah. And we think it's important, so yeah, it's important. Like, the world thinks it's important.
I gotta think it's important. It's my paycheck, man. So, I mean, I can't say no. I mean, like, hell, that's how I get paid. That's how I eat. That's how I was able to get gas in my car and drive up here from Augusta.
Yeah.
So I gotta think they're important, bro.
Yeah, I mean, the military does its things. My girlfriend's little brother was kind of like this video game, didn't know what he was gonna do, kind of feminine kind of dude that didn't really know how to speak his truth and shit.
Yeah.
Not putting the dude down, but then he went to the military and he seems to be a more adjusted human being. Seems to it gives a lot of people purpose. That's good.
Yeah.
Purpose always nice to be quiet. Plus, they pay you afterwards. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's the best part about it.
I do think that they maybe don't do the best job of, keeping up with people. Like, I think once you've fought in wars, I feel like you should get paid for the rest of your life.
But that's veteran affairs. I mean, so that ain't really military. That's people who you deal with outside. I mean,
I feel like that should be the military's job take care of people.
I mean,
they should do a better
granted,
job.
Granted, I mean, I have a feeling from people I know that's retired or people that's out, I think there's a lot of people who served who agree with your sentiment that you just made. Because there's a lot of people. Because my thing is, I don't understand how you tell somebody, hey, this is what you're entitled to. This is what we told you we're going to give you. And then once you like, hey, about this, you told me, I get, oh, well, you know, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do. I'm like, wait a minute, time the fuck out. You told me if I did this X, Y, and Z, I was supposed to get A, B, C. Why is that not happening? So,
exactly. No,
that's something I'd kind of.
Oh, I got a sad story. My bro, he did the military for a while. He's a comic up in Raleigh, and he did his time, and he came back, and they paid him. And this is around the time that, like, Tesla was starting to be a company.
Oh, okay.
But they were, like, not investing in, like, transportation and stuff. It was more, like, just sustainable energy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, like, the shares were really down. And so it was, like, $1 per share. And he bought 1,000 shares just out of $1. Just okay. Gave him $1,000.
Yeah, $1,000.
Yeah, and then he basically went to $2 a share. So he just bought out all of his money back. But if he had kept all of it, he would be, like, a multi-millionaire right now.
So you're telling us the story, and it's sad because he failed.
He failed, oh yeah. He failed, yes.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if you see the stocks going up like that high that quickly, you know, why not just stay in, you know?
Well, I mean, it's just like, probably might be like the same story with them people who saw Amazon back in the 90s, oh, and like, God, thought, yeah, like, ah, this shit will never take off.
Yeah.
You got it's an online garage sale.
Oh, yeah.
Any of that shit.
An online garage sale, yeah, that'll never take off.
Or the publishers that didn't believe in the bisexual Christian suburban failure and lightning bipolar blues.
Publishers?
No, I'm saying the publishers that didn't believe that, they're like, oh, we missed out on this.
Yeah, same thing.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. It was final placement. I like it.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that scene on Rain's
People
World.
People were really upset about that.
Remember that scene on Rain's World when Wayne and Dirk. Garth, not Dirk. I don't know where I got Dirk from. Garth was sitting there shitting on fucking product placement, but everything was.
Oh, yeah.
Was like blatant product placement. Matter of fact, Mike Myers is Wayne looked at the damn camera. Was it Pepsi or was it? It was Pepsi. It was,
yeah.
He looked with a Pepsi, just looked dead at the camera. So that's what that reminded me of. I love it.
He's like, I wish we could get a Pizza Hut sponsor and then pulls it out.
Yeah, I just looked at the camera like.
It's like, we tried to get in contact with these ad people. And they didn't want us.
Yeah, I understand.
They didn't cuss to the ad.
Yeah. So, Justin, what made you want to get into comedy, bro?
Why do you ask him that?
I think it's a good question.
No, it's a good question. I want to know why everybody.
It leads you into stuff,
because
it leads you into conversation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because like, that's usually what a lot of people ask me. Why did I want to get into it? I'm like, well, shit. I tell people straight up. People told me I was funny. I never thought I was fucking. I never was a class fucking clown. I was like Screech.
Same here.
I was like Screech from Saved by the Bell. I was in the in crowd, but I was like that offbeat guy. So
you were like the personality. That's what it was.
Yeah. So it's like. You know, I grew up in a small town in Mississippi, so it's, you know, it's football town. So, you know, they're going to laugh at all the football players, joke if they be like, say the dumbest shit. Like, why did she cross the road and get those? Ah, that's funny. No, it's not. You just laugh because that motherfucker ran 2 touchdowns last night and 250
it's
yards.
It's a clown laugh.
Yeah, it's a clown
laugh.
So, you know what I'm saying? I end up getting into it because, like, a couple friends told me I'm funny. Like, my college roommates and my college homeboy told me I'm funny. I tried it and got a laugh, and I've been doing this in 2010. But I digress. I asked Justin why he wants to do it, so I'm just.
I mean, it's just, I do, like, a lot of different creating. So I do, like, poetry, slam poetry.
Okay.
Write books, do music.
Okay.
So I just kind of love creating.
What type of music?
It's kind of like whatever, okay. I guess. I'm putting out this album soon called Unlearning White America, and it's going to have rap on it. It's going to have hip hop.
You have some of the most intricate titles for it, your body's work.
Thanks, man.
He's an artist. You know?
I mean, yeah, that shows that you are dedicated. I mean, you like really sit down and think about what you construct.
Yeah.
Because that is a good-ass title.
Thanks.
I will buy that album off that title line.
It's coming out soon.
Okay.
It's called Unlearning White America.
You're like if someone from Woodstock just tripped acid and died on a tree and got reincarnated. And it's just like, I want to try harder this life.
Damn,
really nice,
what was happening?
That's a really nice compliment. I appreciate that.
That is a good metaphor.
Interesting. Y'all ever done a past life regression?
No, I don't even know what is that?
I know some of those words.
Okay.
I know regression is, but yeah. I don't know our past life.
A lot of people believe that we've had multiple lives. This is our first life, right?
Yeah.
So you can like hire someone who can like kind of hypnotize you and take you into your past life.
Yeah.
So I did that. And the person that I was in that past life was a very similar person to what you just said. It was interesting. Felt like I died in the 70s or in the 60s. I was a musician. I died of a drug overdose in the desert. That's what happened in the past life regression that I experienced.
So in your past life, did your past life person...
I was a fucked up person.
Well, yeah, but was he like the precursor to what gave us Coachella? Because you said you was in the desert. And I feel like that his spirit was sacrificed to give us Coachella. Your spirit in your past life...
That's a good name, too. I don't think that
is the case, but I'll take that.
Yeah, I feel like... You said you passed out as a musician in the desert. I said, that sound like
but
your spirit
an
was
an
sacrificed.
An interesting thing is like when the character... When the guy dies, when I'm going through it and he dies, I just kind of died and didn't care about that body anymore.
So, like, it was a past life of yourself and you have like a newer version.
Yeah. How much did you pay for these people to do this?
It was probably like $80.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. I mean, cause shit, for that shit, I would think at least a couple hundred.
Yeah. What percent of your fraction of your soul did you have to give away to find out?
Nothing. Your soul expanded.
Alright.
He gained something that day.
Yeah, he gained something.
Okay. So what's
besides
the catch?
$80,
what's
but
the catch? There's a catch.
There's no catch. It's just you want to learn about yourself because you are who you are.
No, yeah, no, I don't.
I don't think there needs to be no catch if the person made $80. I don't think that's the catch right there. Like I tell you,
like I'm assuming it like only works for certain people, right? Because there's got to be people that are like, this doesn't work.
Yeah,
I don't believe.
I mean,
this,
I do
you know?
like I said, I do life coaching.
Yeah.
So. When I'm with someone who's like, fuck yeah, let's do this, the session goes very easy.
You need to find people that are like willing to actually accept.
Because if you find somebody that doesn't, like I've had a couple clients before that have told me like, yo, shit's getting too real, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Like they've told, I mean, they didn't tell me, I had to kind of get that out of them.
Yeah.
At first they were like, ugh, da 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 da, and then we keep going. It's like, you know, a lot of people don't like to grow. That much sometimes.
That's true.
Growth sucks.
Well, it's scary because it's unfamiliar. People are scared.
It's shame, but it's really not when you realize like everything is just love consciousness, right? So everything's just love. When you give that love to everything that you're growing into, nothing's scary.
But you gotta understand, some people don't know how to love because some people never experienced love.
That's true.
Themselves. So,
right.
So when they get love, that's a foreign concept. I'm a prime example. Like when I'm dating a woman, I'm used to women just. Some of them just like being real mean and nasty to me. So when I meet a woman that's kind of sweet, I'm like, who the fuck sent you?
Yeah, I see that.
Like, who sent you? What are you?
But the love I'm talking about is the love within you.
No, yeah, I understand that. But I'm just saying some people, a lot of people, they go off of what they get from other people.
Totally.
Well, it's like you give love
that fuel,
and then in turn you'll
that fuel, receive that fuel is them inside. I mean, this is somebody.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, I'm okay.
Why are you laughing at this shit?
I'm validating your point, too. It can be scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you realize it's actually everything that you're growing into is exactly what you want to become, mm-hmm. it makes you only a better, happier person.
Yeah.
It's actually not scary. It's like, I can't wait to do
this. I'm
going
to relate this because I've dealt with like mental health issues in my past as well, and I'm kind of relating to it because it's like, when you're in that dark place, you know, where you're just like, where you're at the edge, literally, and you're just at rock bottom, you don't want to be there, but it's just so hard to change and find love in yourself to move on.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Like looking back where I'm at now, I'm so glad that I did, you know.
Because it makes you a better person.
Yes, I'm a significantly better person now. Like I love myself, and in turn, I can give love to others.
Respect.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, no, that's the real
thing.
That is
very beautiful.
Like, when you, like, that's how you grow.
Yeah.
And become a better person to everybody when you like you gain compassion and empathy.
Oh yeah.
There's so many people that don't have that. That's why Mike Bloomberg exists. Because people like him don't have compassion. And you know, I think a lot of times when you don't have compassion, it's easy to make a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
You don't give a fuck who you're ripping.
Because you on the chase just to make green. You know.
Yeah. You don't care these people are actually human beings.
Because nothing makes you stop. So you're just like, how much money can I get? How can I get it this quick? And how can I get it more of it? So it's just like boom, 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 boom.
And
so
that's the world that used to be that we're changing. That was that world. You know. That was that world.
Yeah.
Shitty world.
It is a shitty world. It definitely is. So, I want to ask, I've asked, like, pretty much everybody told me, what made them get into. So who is some of you guys' biggest influences in this game? I'm going to go with you, Donovan, first. Like, who some can comedians you look up to?
Mark Norman, Andrew Schultz. So I'm really fucking with it now.
Okay.
They're just next level.
So. Okay. Justin, what about you?
I'm kind of like, this kind of might sound pretentious, stupid, but I feel like I'm at the point where I'm just kind of like focusing on my own comedy and not really getting into. But I could say, like, the reason I got into comedy, I really loved Andy Kaufman. Y'all know Andy?
Oh, yeah, Andy Kaufman.
Of course, yeah.
So I kind of got into.
I could grab it from Texas.
Yeah. I got into comedy to, like, fuck with people. So, like, that was what was fun for me when I first got into comedy. What's up, man?
What's up?
Podcasting. You want to get in? What's up, TJ?
How you doing, Pete? How you doing? You want to say anything for the podcast, man? Say, tell people who you are?
I'm TJ Connor from West Virginia.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm you drove too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I live in Augusta now.
But. Oh, okay. I do too, man. Like, what part of Augusta you stay in?
Fort Gordon.
Oh, you stay on the base?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, I work on the base. I'm in the Navy, so.
Well,
your flight's open, my guy.
Is it?
Yeah.
But,
is that on the podcast?
Yeah, hey, make it better.
Yeah, Andy Kaufman was a big influence because I like to fuck with the audience a lot.
Okay.
But then people wouldn't book me on shows because they were like, you ruined the fucking flow of the show. Because I did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that kind of does.
So sure you adapt on to, like...
So then I started writing jokes to be funny.
Well, it's like the message, like, don't be the next somebody, be the first you, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you don't get yourself bitch slapped by a professional wrestler like how Jerry King loudly hit his ass on Letterman.
That shit was funny.
Yeah, yeah. He slapped him. I don't know if it was staged or not, but all I know, it was staged, but he still got slapped by Jerry King
Loudly. Yeah. Yeah,
Jerry King Loudly is a big, we wasn't a little dude.
Do you remember Gypsy Joe the wrestler?
No, I can't say I do.
He beat the shit out of me when I was like 13 years old.
Who?
Gypsy Joe, this old school wrestler.
Damn, why'd he beat you up?
Yeah, that's
man, he did a meet and greet, and the kids were trying to wrestle around, and he just whooped our ass. I mean.
Was he a, like, grown adult at
this
point?
Yeah, he was like 97
years old. He just whooped y'all just for the hell of it? Like,
yeah, so this is a 97-year-old guy beating up 13-year-olds.
Yeah, he said, y'all want to do this for real? Let's do it for real. Beat us up, like three of us.
Dude, that's crazy.
Like, power drive y'all.
Yeah, I feel like that's a fair fight, though. You got, like, three 13-year-olds.
I'm going to text my buddy who loves, what's his name?
Gypsy Joe.
Gypsy Joe?
Yeah, what's his name? The guy that was really hardcore in ECW with the scars on his head.
I ain't really watched ECW like
New
that.
New Jack or whatever.
I did theater, so this is...
Yeah,
this
I like what you said. You said
I did theater. That guy, man.
Gypsy Joe from West Virginia?
He was, but he was big at one point.
Yeah, my buddy knows. He's obsessed with wrestling, so he'll probably
used to be, man, but...
I did do an attitude era, man.
Exactly.
Like,
that was PG.
Yeah, it's just
DX.
Oh, man, you know how many times I got sent to ISS because of that shit? Like, the sucking shit. And I'm going to be honest, out of the attitude era, and there's a bunch, but my favorite moment out of the attitude era is when Stone Cold Steve Austin and Booker T tore up that damn supermarket. I don't know if y'all remember that.
Yeah,
tore that supermarket up. That's the only time I probably was laughing at a white man was beating the shit out of a black man ass. Like, that shit had me in tears.
I'm so out of the loop here. When you said Booker T,
Booker T. Washington.
That's what I was. That was like,
Booker T.
Washington. That was like,
no.
Why? I know Booker T.
No,
why is this guy like?
No, trust me, this guy was nothing like Booker T. Washington because he actually has a clip on YouTube of him saying the N-word. In reference to Hulk Hogan, and I don't think Booker T. Washington, the founder of Tuskegee Institute, would have said that.
If there's one thing I don't like, it's people using the N-word when they're not allowed to. I'm very brave.
When you say we're not allowed to, you're talking about black people.
No, white
black
people.
I'm talking about you're talking about they're not allowed to. The black people are the ones you're talking about allowed to use.
No, I don't care. I have no
nobody.
To say
so
that.
Nobody, yeah. Nobody, when they're not allowed to use.
I mean,
so what do you mean allowed to use? When is it allowed for them to use?
I just know I can't use it.
Okay, well, I'm glad you know that.
Yeah,
that was the most elaborate way to say that I can't say
I don't like the N-word. That's it, yeah.
I was getting scared there for a second.
Because I didn't know he was good. He's like, I don't like people not, not being able. I'm like, so who are the people who can? Cause like,
I don't give a shit if you say it. I just don't like
Okay, so maybe you just proved my point. Like, black people can say it, but white people can't.
Yeah.
You just proved my point. That's what I was trying to get at.
Paul coming.
Oh, man, goodness.
So, Paul?
That would be like an absurdist guy, like a white guy that gets mad at black people.
I came in about 10 minutes ago, but I didn't see nobody.
No,
Paul,
everybody. Hey, Paul. You all want to speak in on the podcast, Paul?
Oh, fine.
Is this everybody?
I think I've met you on
this is everybody performing at the Sandbar tonight.
Hey,
this is everybody.
Paul speaking to like the
What's
mic.
Up?
I don't know who I'm speaking to, but hello.
Speaking out to the masses, Paul.
To the masses.
Was these books that somebody here's read, or
no? That's I sell books in my show.
Why don't you read the title of it? Give it a promotion there.
Yeah. It's called the Bisexual Christian Suburban Seller.
It's another plug for it. That's what this episode. That's what matter if you guys don't know. That's what this episode is about, you, man.
Oh, okay. Right. What's up to like me too, but.
That's
it's chill.
That's what this episode is about.
I mean, it's a fictional novel, but it's, I was raised in the conservative South. Mm-hmm. It's about, like, being raised in the conservative South.
Yeah.
But this is, like, way more intense than my childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drew from shit in my childhood.
Yeah.
There we go.
First chapter, he's in a mental institution. I got put in a mental institution for a while. So that's a pretty...
It sounds, along the same level. How is that, like, worse? You made it exaggerated, or?
Oh yeah, I mean it's way worse than my life. I mean I was like this kid's like fucked.
I mean given
they're fundamentalists, man.
Given the title of them a bisexual Christian suburban failure lighting bipolar blues, yeah, I can see he especially if it take place in Alabama, I can see how he would have a lot of hardship and heartache.
Right.
Yeah. Especially so that's
yeah.
Well just reading the last sentence on the back too, you can tell like
tell them, they can't see, the people listening can't see. What does the last sentence say?
On the back, it says, I came out of the womb already on fire from the homophobic hell of the Southern Baptist Church. And so, like, just immediately, you know you're in for, like, hell, I guess.
Yeah, it's real fucked up. Yeah. It's funny, because I'll sell them at comedy shows. First, I'll be like, hey, my name's Justin Blackburn, I'm the author of blah, blah, blah. And people are like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And they'll think it's a joke or some shit. And they'll be like, oh my god, that's really a book? Okay, I'll buy one. And then I'll see them later and they'll be like, that wasn't funny at all. But it's not.
It's a tragedy.
I mean, there's a lot of funny. It's funny.
But that's the
really
thing.
Funny,
people would think.
It's like real fucked up.
People would think, because we comedians, they think everything we write is supposed to be humor. Shit, yeah. Jordan Peele has just showed us that with all his movies that I'm funny, but I can go dark and be deep.
Totally.
Because Get Out, Us, and
those movies are amazing.
And then not didn't even redo Candyman, which I will not be going to see. I will not.
I'm gonna see it. Just
I don't fucking play with Candyman. No, I don't. I'm 31 years old. I have been to the Middle East and been to like Africa, you know, by Somalia. I don't fucking play with Candyman.
I don't think he's that scary. He just has a meat hook and is made of bees. Like if you get some honey, you'll be good.
Yeah, but you know how hard it is not to say the same word more than once, like, just limit it to one time?
Trust me,
I don't repeat myself accidentally.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, but, like, you're not going to repeat yourself five times, you know?
But people did it for Beetlejuice 3 times. I mean, why? What's 2 more times?
Yeah, but you also have to, like, look at yourself in the mirror.
Yes, you got to say it in the mirror with the light off in the bathroom. Yeah. That and Bloody
like,
Mary.
This guy has too many clauses, you know?
Like,
it's way too many.
Well, I ain't seen it in the mirror.
There's a mirror in here.
I ain't looking into it. Oh. But no, you said what's scary about a black man with honey?
I said
and
man.
Oh, well, he was. I'm just saying. Well, I'm not saying.
The
but
whole
look,
movie's
but,
about
but,
like.
But, look, it's a black man walking through the projects in Chicago, dripping honey with bees and a meat hook. I would be scared of that. Because, like, why ask? Because it's like.
See, I'm scared up until the bees. The bees just throws me off.
So the man walking around with a meat hook that can stab you. That don't bother you, but the bees,
No, the bees are just like, I'd be scared with like a guy walking around with like a meat hook, right?
Yeah.
Just like any guy, because he's going to kill you. But if he just, like, the bees is so unnecessary, you know? Like, why? Why is that a thing? Why does that need to be a thing?
That makes it twice as creepy.
That's exactly it.
Coming from a writer's perspective, you can get so much creepier stuff than just bees, you know? Like, just little honeybees.
If you could fucking make bees do what you want them to do.
I mean, it'd be cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but like, what if they were like wasps, you know? Wasps are much more scary.
Haven't you ever watched My Girl, dude?
No. Yeah.
Great movie. Boy up, man.
Yeah.
Wasps did?
Bees.
Well, see, the only thing I hate about wasps is them little nest they leave, and you gotta knock them down and get rid of them.
Yeah,
that's the biggest. That's the worst thing about fucking wasps. They're not necessarily scary because you know to stay clear their ass because they're gonna sting you. Yeah. It's them damn nests you gotta
get out. If I had access to just fucking shit up with bees all the time, you could just do whatever you want at any time. You would just walk into a place, the bees would fucking sting everybody, then you would steal everybody's money.
You'd also constantly, they'll have to keep getting more bees because once a bee, like, stings, they die. So you gotta keep making the bees either, like, fuck, or, like, you have to go to find, like,
honeycombs.
Well, you
don't have to make them do that. They'll do that naturally. That's nature. They'll do that on their own.
Yeah, but you just can fucking bring them out of thin air, right?
I mean, yes, that's scary. I just think it's unnecessary to the point. of like what you're trying to do.
Yeah, but like how annoying would it be to just get like somebody's chasing after you, you get stung by bees too?
I mean, that sucks.
I mean, that would suck.
That'd be like a little inconvenient, but I wouldn't be scared of it. Like I'd be scared of I'm scared of the hook. If the bee stung me, I'd be like, damn it, a bee stung me. Like, that's the attitude I'm feeling.
I'm just wondering if they know that they would die after they fuck.
Not if they fuck, that they sting you.
Yeah. No, it's praying mantises.
Oh, that's praying, they die after they fuck?
No, the women rip the male's head off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never mind. I was off.
And the black widows do that too. Like, they smash at a woman, kill them, then she eat for the babies, right?
Yep.
I gotta get out of here.
So, yeah, for the show.
I've only been here for like 7 minutes, and this conversation has went from the attitude era to bee fucking.
I don't know. We just all over the place, man. Just,
yeah, you're a good podcast host.
Oh, I try to be, man. You know, I just, because the thing is, when you host, you don't try to make it about you. You make it about the people that you have on.
So yeah. You live in Augusta too?
Yeah, I live in Augusta. I live in West Augusta. I live on Bobby Jones Expressway.
I work at Cabela's now, man, so I'm just right there.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I used to do a ton of shows at the, there's like a music venue in Augusta that's
Country
also
Club.
A recording studio. MAD Studios, MAAD.
Downtown?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, like, yeah, but,
Catherine the Great?
I don't know any of the people. I don't know any of the people, but I know the place.
I haven't done any shows in Augusta yet.
Oh.
You gotta do Fox's Lair, bro.
I just went there with Don Garrett about 3 weeks ago.
Did you perform?
Oh, you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you gotta do Fox's Lair pretty good.
Where were you before that?
West Virginia.
How was West Virginia's comedy scene?
Driving everywhere. Not like anywhere else.
Driving
to different states, mostly.
That's kind of like Augusta. That's kind of like
Asheville. Did you do it in North Carolina?
I've done a few in North Carolina.
But that's where I'm from. Like, that's, those are good shows.
Yeah, Asheville's got a great
show. But, I mean, that's how I did with us. Because we just got to go to Atlanta. We got to go to Charlotte or Savannah.
Well, have you did Joker's yet?
I've done Jokers like a couple of times. I haven't done any of their shows recently because. Have you done Jokers?
No.
Well,
what is Jokers?
Jokers is like it's an urban comedy club in Augusta, but they real particular about who they want. Usually they get They usually get a lot of out of towners.
Yeah.
Oh, they get a lot of out of towners. I got a lot of friends from Atlanta that go over there and perform a lot, and I could really go catch them or like guest spot on their shows because I work in me being in the military, my schedule is kind of conflicts. I was working nights whenever they come, but it's like it's like real urban. They do more lot of out of towners. I don't know why they don't. I don't know what it is, but for some reason I don't really see them doing a lot of locals.
Yeah,
and ever since I've left West Virginia, I found myself driving back from Augusta to do more shows than when I was in West Virginia.
Yeah. That's how it is when you're there.
Yeah.
That's not just West Virginia. Anyway, you're there.
Yeah.
People don't see you as a hot commodity like, oh, you're local. Well, then when you go away and they see you doing stuff away, oh, can you come back and do this? Well, damn, why would when I was living there?
Yeah.
Y'all didn't want to do a damn thing with me.
Yeah.
So.
But that's how it is, man.
Oh, yeah.
I made my way out to California and everything this year, man.
Was, oh, you did? What part of California? L.A.?
I went to Los Angeles, but I was there for one night, but I'm not used to that kind of traffic.
Oh yeah, that's traffic.
And
sorry.
I just could not figure out if I was to do this show, I couldn't make it to this show. And
yeah, I used to every station in San Diego, so I used to go to LA from time a lot of times, man.
Yeah.
LA, I thought Atlanta was bad. LA traffic is Atlanta on crack, man.
Yeah. So where are you from?
Well, I'm from Greer, South Carolina, but I live in Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay. Oh,
I lived there for about.
I've heard like you talking about.
I see it.
I've heard the scene there was beautiful.
It is.
Yeah,
great.
I've heard it's beautiful
scene.
There.
We got like you talking about the scene like.
Comedy scene.
Yeah, the comedy scene.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess.
No, we got like a great Wednesday night. We got like an open mic pretty much every night. There's this awesome person named Melissa, Model Face. She's on Instagram.
Yeah.
She books like a headliner.
Okay.
Like three nights a week. So we got like everybody coming in.
And the music is good there too. Cause I had a friend of mine. He drove up there. For a music festival not too long
ago. Yeah, everybody wants to play there. So, like, a lot of, people like Asheville. So, like, pretty much, the Orange Pill's there.
Yeah.
That's a really great venue. I got to do a show there 2 weeks ago. It was pretty awesome.
And yeah, most of my comic friends are out of Charlotte, though.
Okay. Who's your Charlotte friends?
Well, he's not from Charlotte, but did a lot down there. Is Sean Murphy.
I know the name.
Sean Murphy, Kevin Duffy. Tim Kidd does a lot down there.
I know Tim Kidd.
He was my first show I ever did, ever. And I just did a show with him. I haven't seen him in 3 years. I did another show with him about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he used to do, in Greenville, he used to do this place called The Gathering Spot.
Yeah.
My buddy Nick Shaheen. Nick Shaheen used to book a lot. I don't know if y'all know him. He booked all the time, but he quit. He moved to Atlanta and quit comedy.
He moved to Atlanta and quit comedy.
So you're doing comedy in Atlanta now, too?
Whenever I can get down there. I haven't been down there since I've been down there a couple times. I've been back from deployment, but, you know, military, man, my schedule constantly changed. Yeah. So
I'd like to make it to Atlanta, man. Atlanta,
like, man.
Atlanta's got an amazing scene.
Amazing scene, because you can go do urban slash hood room. You can go do a stoner room. You can do a damn college room. You can do a hipster room. You can do all that in one night. And with that being said, y'all, we're about to get up out of here, man. They about to start the show. So y'all already know all my contact information. I said on the rest of the episodes. I'd like to thank all these men for being here on this stuff.
Hey, thank you for having me.
No worries, Justin.
Thank you for having me.
No worries, Grant.
My TJ.
Donovan, that's him. Donovan, that's him. Y'all here on the in the back. So that's the DJ doing his thing. So man, y'all be calm, stay cool, and get paid. There's some food talk for your ass.